this is about take 500 because I take a few weeks off of recording and I act like I don't know how to speak. Bear with me, y'all. Bear with me. What's good, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Mic Check with Micah. I am Micah. If you don't know, now you know. If you did, that's what's up. And in today's episode, we have Stan by Eminem featuring Ditto. One of my all-time favorite artists, one of my all-time favorite rappers, honestly, kind of grew up on him. You know, when I was coming into, I guess you could say, my hip-hop rap journey, he was definitely one of the major ones that I looked out for, listened to, and I like the way that he rhymes, and I like the double, triple, quadruple entendres that he produces. One of my favorites, don't care what y'all say, he is one of the greatest rappers of all time. One of the greatest rappers of all time. I'm not going to argue with y'all. Argue with your mama. So today we're going over Stan by Eminem, and this is one of his best songs to me personally. You know, every time I'm basically picking, as you can see, I said in my last episode, you know, I feel that Lil Wayne and Kendrick's best song, even though this is like a featured song between them and they have their own individual albums and songs, I feel as though Mona Lisa is their greatest song. You know, shout out Lil Wayne. He's coming here, I believe, in March. I'm gonna try to get those tickets, y'all. It's him and Quavo. Not that big of a Quavo fan. Shout out Wayne. But I feel like Stan is one of Eminem's best songs because of the meaning behind it and the storytelling. You know, I love every single song that has a huge storytelling element. And I know that a lot of songs are supposed to, you know, if they're rap songs, you know, everything has a story, no matter if it's a meaningful story or whatever. Some people just be talking about their everyday-to-day life. That's not even their everyday-to-day life. They're putting on a persona. They're not telling a story. They're just doing a day in my life about robbing, killing, stealing, you know. I basically feel like Eminem's past, even from the beginning to now, and I know some people are like, oh, his, you know, he's corny and, you know, he's... Y'all are just used to, actually, I'm not going to at nobody's favorite rapper. I don't feel like going through any of that. I'm going to read what Genius has here about his song specifically. It says, in this song, Eminem corresponds with a crazed fan who becomes increasingly unhinged as the story progresses. This is one of his most well-received singles and was listed at number 15 on VH1's Top 100 Hip Hop Songs of All Time. Who listens to VH1 anymore? This is a very old song. You can even watch it from the extended cut from his music video of this. Y'all search it up. Eminem intended for the song to be a message to fans who had written him disturbing letters indicating that they had taken the Slim Shady LP's violent lyrics seriously. Another reason M wrote this was to, quote, make the critics who were saying things about him feel stupid. His aim was to disprove those who felt he lacked talent and relied on shock value. This is an important, I feel like this should be a history lesson, guys. I personally, I'll start off with me, I like K-pop. A lot of y'all will know I love K-pop. Maybe one day on the channel, maybe one day on the podcast, I'll find a K-pop episode and talk about, you know, songs in K-pop and the most relevant or well-known K-pop stars there are. You know, I'm a BTS stan. Notice how a lot of people will say they're a K-pop stan, BTS stan, or in the actual group, since they're multiple members, they're like, oh, like for me, I like J-Hope. I call him Hobie. The way we kind of identify each other is like, oh, who's your bias? Who's like your favorite? Oh, I'm a Hobie stan. I'm a RM stan. I'm a Suga stan. Like all those type of things, we use stan at the end. Stan actually derived from this song here. When was this song created? This was created May 23rd, or the song was released May 23rd, 2000. And to this day, we are still using the word stan. And for a long time, I didn't know that me saying I was a K-pop stan or a BTS stan, I was kind of referring to this song. You're going to see throughout the song, the notes, there are people that just generalize themselves as, and I say K-pop, I'm going to use that as a main example because we mainly use that word in our, you know, fandom. If you don't know, K-pop is Korean pop music. We basically say stan, like me personally, I consider myself a BTS stan. That's my favorite group. I love all of the members. And, you know, I buy a lot of their albums. I listen to their music all the time. I plan on going to their concert. Hobie is having a concert this year. But reunion concert should be 2026. So I'm trying to save my money. J-Hope, I'm going to have to catch you next time. But I consider myself a stan. Now, stan is really used for people, especially in the K-pop industry, who have like an unhinged attachment to their idol. You know, they're kind of, and that happens in Western civilization over here in America. You know, people feel entitled. There's crazed fans breaking into people's houses, you know, celebrities' houses. Oh, I'm in love with these people, you know, and I, you know, that's happened to certain celebrities that unfortunately have lost their lives or have almost lost their lives because of stans. I guess the girl who killed Selena was in Mexico. I think they were in Mexico when this happened. I don't know. But y'all know the Mexican superstar Selena. The lady that killed her is considered a stan. And you're going to see in Eminem kind of lays the foundation for what a stan is. Now, we take it kind of light. I consider myself a K-pop stan, like I've said 100 million times. Am I crazy? No. Do I think that I have a future and I'm going to marry every last K-pop member that I love? No. But as we'll see in Eminem's stan here, we're going to see where the word originated from, who stan was. Stan is actually, I guess, short for Stan Lee. Well, it's short for Stanley, but it's Stan, and Stan is actually a character. Now, we're using that name like we are Stan. So we are the Stans of this story and whatever fandom. If you like Western pop, if you like acting, if you like social media stars or influencers, TikTok influencers. I hope they don't take TikTok away. Side note, but those people are Stans. So they're kind of embodying what Eminem is going to lay out here. Without further ado, we're going to get started. And mind you, this is featuring Ditto, and this was actually a sample from one of her old songs that Eminem used, produced by DJ Mark, the 45 King. We're going to get right into it so you guys can understand where I'm coming from. All right, so we have the intro here. It repeats itself twice, and it becomes the chorus, as you guys will see throughout the song. The lyrics are, my tea's gone cold, I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. The morning rain clouds up my window, and I can't see at all. And even if I could, it'll all be gray, but your picture on my wall, important, it reminds me that it's not so bad, it's not so bad at all. I'm not gonna spoil too much of the story, but I really respect Eminem for putting this in the beginning of the song because it sets the premise for it. Basically, my tea's gone cold. I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all. You know, I'm so gloomy. My life is not where it should be. I'm, you know, not me personally, but let's pretend. I'm depressed. I hate life. But, you know, I hang up pictures of this idol or, you know, my favorite rapper. Anyways, I hang up pictures of my favorite rapper or celebrity on my wall, and you know, it reminds me that it's not so bad at all. And that's kind of like an over meaning because it can have multiple things like, yeah, I'm hopeful. I see him and what this rapper or this celebrity's done. And I'm just so excited for the future just of me, you know, being hopeful. And that could be one side. Or the only reason why you get out of bed is because you're imagining a life where you're not going through what you're going through, and you're maybe in that idol's shoes, or you're with that idol, or you're best friends with the idol. We'll go ahead and see once we get into, you know, the rest of the verses. But my term of idol, you know, a lot of people consider people K-pop idols. I try not to say idol because I don't idolize anything but the Lord. I'm just going to say that, number one. So that's just me personally. But a lot of people consider K-pop as a huge example. I'll probably bring back examples of this throughout the episode because it is vital for you guys to understand. Even if you don't understand Korean, you're not into Korean pop, that fandom and just that as a whole is way more deep than you guys understand. And so a lot of people, they call them K-pop idols, or even, you know, American idols. Some people, like Americans, idolize, you know, everything like that. And that is who you kind of worship. And we're going to kind of see that. So we're going to go ahead and see the themes of idolatry. Is it idolatry? I think I said that right. Or somebody or a celebrity being an idol throughout this song.
Dear Slim, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling. I left my cell, my pager, and my home phone at the bottom. I sent two letters back in autumn. You must not have got them. There probably was a problem at the post office or something. Sometimes I scribble addresses too sloppy when I jot them. But anyways, what's been up, man? How's your daughter? My girlfriend's pregnant too. I'm about to be a father. If I have a daughter, guess what I'm going to call her? I'm going to name her Bonnie.
In the background of this song, you can hear scribbles. It's better if you see the music video, but obviously we are through a podcast, so I will try in my best journalistic integrity to explain this to y'all. But you can hear scribbles in the background, which creates a basis or creates a good scene. You hear a male voice. Eminem, you can tell, you know, he's not really acting like Slim Shady or Eminem right now. He's portraying a different character. So we can assume that this person, you know, is in the room. You hear the scribbles, they're writing a letter. And you can tell, one, based off of the first verse or the first few lyrics, Dear Slim, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling. So of course he's addressing this to Eminem, Slim Shady, Slim, anything like that. So we can infer that this, you know, back in the day when you could still write letters to idols and send it, and celebrities and send them and stuff like that. I know they did that in K-pop. They've stopped it for a while, unless it's like a meet and greet because of safety reasons. People are crazy. But yeah, Dear Slim, I wrote you, but you still ain't calling. I left my cell, my pager, and my home phone at the bottom. I sent two letters back in autumn. You must not have got them. There probably was a problem at the post office or something. Sometimes I scribble addresses too sloppy when I jot them. So he's just letting us know, you know, he left his cell phone number, his pager, and the home phone. So there shouldn't be a reason you don't have my number to call me back. You know, I sent two letters back in fall, autumn. I'm just going to make up excuses and say you couldn't have got them, because there's no reason why you wouldn't want to reply to me, right? You know, we're going to see he gets increasingly unhinged as the episode goes on. But right now, you know, two letters, he's on his third letter right now. He's just kind of irritated, getting impatient, but he still wants Eminem to realize, you know, maybe it was just an accident, but I still, you know, I still care for you, everything like that. He says, but anyways, F it. What's been up, man? How's your daughter? My girlfriend's pregnant too. I'm about to be a father. If I have a daughter, guess what I'm gonna call her? I'm gonna name her Bonnie. Bonnie was kind of alluding to a, let me find it here. So Eminem had a song, 97 Bonnie and Clyde. He basically, and this is coming from Genius here, and they have like a cute picture of Eminem and his daughter Hallie. Or is it Haley? I'm sorry. Haley. Basically, Bonnie was Haley, and it was kind of just giving, you know, the Bonnie and Clyde. I guess Haley was born in 97, I want to say. And, you know, he cares so much that he's going to name his daughter. Stan's going to name his daughter after something from an Eminem song.
I read about your Uncle Ronnie, too. I'm sorry. I had a friend kill himself over something too. They want him. I know you probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. I even got the underground that you did with Scam. I got a room full of your posters and your pictures, man. I like it. Did with rockets too, that was bad. Anyways, I hope you get this, man. Hit me back, just a chat. Truly yours, your biggest fan. This is Stan.
This kind of goes back to the first verse that I was talking about. Not the very first verse, but when he says, but anyways, F it, what's been up, man? How's your daughter? He then goes on, and something that I could have mentioned then is he is trying his hardest to show Eminem through, you know, I read about your Uncle Ronnie too. I'm sorry, I had a friend do the same thing over some girl that didn't want him. You probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. He's kind of pleading for Eminem to love him and accept him. Like, Eminem, you know, I relate to you so much. He even said, you know, I like the stuff that you did with Ruckus too that was fat. Just kind of relating, you know, I understand your music. A lot of people don't understand your music, but I do. I relate to it. You know, I can relate to you. You write about and rap about what's going on in your life. And, you know, everyone else can rap your lyrics, but maybe I have something more in common than you think. Maybe I'm more, you know, giving you or giving Eminem a reason to pick him. And that's very a Stan sometimes can be equal to a pick me, especially when you have access to a celebrity like this. You don't really have access like this anymore. You can send DMs through social media. One out of a million chance that they're going to actually view it, but they'll see it. But this was easy. You know, some people would get letters back and everything. I remember my grandma wrote, this is actually hilarious, guys. My grandma wrote to President Barack Obama when he was in office and he sent something back. And I think she still has it, guys. Something like that. So, shout out Barack. But it was easier to get people like this. And so this was your really only chance to like, okay, you know, I can relate to what you're saying. And I just revealed the lyric, y'all. But I can relate to what you're saying in your songs. And, you know, this is just even more of a reason, even if you're just looking at people's letters and you don't want to respond, this is the reason why you should respond to mine. That's kind of where Stan is setting this up right now. So this is his third letter going on. And then, you know, it goes back to the chorus. My tea's gone cold. I'm wondering why. So you're going throughout your, and I really like that he used this specifically as the chorus instead of just the intro, because it's showing increasingly my life is getting worse. And I feel like every time I look at a picture of you on my mirror or on my wall and everything, I feel like you're the only thing that's making me happy. You're my only source of happiness. And the fact that Stan hasn't received a letter from Eminem is kind of, to him, heartbreaking. And you'll see in the, actually, I'm not going to spoil it at all. Okay, we're going to go to the next one.
Dear Slim, you still ain't called the road. I hope you have a chance. I ain't mad. I just think it's f***ed up you don't answer fans. If you didn't want to talk to me outside the concert, you didn't have to. But you could have signed an autograph for Matthew. That's my little brother, man. He's only 6 years old. We waited in the blistering cold for you 4 hours and you just said no. That's pretty f***, man. You're like his f***ing idol. He wants to be just like you, man. He likes you more than I do.
We're back in the setting after the chorus and we hear the scribbles again. So we know that Stan is now on his fourth letter. So obviously Eminem, Slim did not get back to him. And, you know, you can see the tone kind of change. And this verse specifically in the first one, you know, Stan was just like, you know, I just not understanding. I don't know why. I just don't know why you're not getting back to me. You know, maybe it has to be a mix up at the post office or something, you know, because there's no reason why you wouldn't answer me, right? And this one, he is getting increasingly more unhinged. And you can kind of tell that he feels like Eminem has viewed his letters. He feels like, you know, he's just being ignored now. So it's not this is a mix up. So he's basically saying, I did everything perfect. There's no reason that this shouldn't have gotten to you. In fact, I know for a fact this got to you. You're just choosing to ignore me. So he says, Dear Slim, you still ain't called a road. I hope you have a chance. I ain't mad. He is mad. I just think it's effed up you don't answer fans. If you didn't want to talk to me outside your concert, you didn't have to. But you could have signed an autograph for Matthew. That's my little brother, man. He's only 6 years old. We waited in the blistering cold for you for 4 hours and you just said no. You'll see in Eminem's verse, because Eminem eventually responds to Stan, that this wasn't necessarily the case. You know, when a celebrity goes out and if they're leaving a venue, like sometimes they'll leave a hotel and there's fans lined up. There's so much going on through that celebrity's mind. They may need to go where they're supposed to go. They may not have time to talk to every last fan because they don't want to just talk to one and then everybody else gets left out. But he probably didn't see you. And a lot of good people, such as, you know, Eminem and a lot of good celebrities, truly good, nice-hearted celebrities, wouldn't purposely do this to their fans, everything like that. But as you can see, he's getting a more, like I keep saying, unhinged. His tone has definitely changed. And he brought his little brother into it. You know, he's only 6 years old. We waited in the blistering cold for you for 4 hours and you just said no. That's pretty, man, you're like his effing idol. He wants to be just like you, man. He likes you more than I do. Now we get into the guilt tripping of the song. More than likely at 6 years old, little brother Matthew is not 100% in tune to what Eminem is saying. Let's just be 100% honest. Yeah, he was probably there. Did he want to stay for 4 hours waiting for Eminem? More than likely, no. Whose fault was this? Stan, I'm gonna bring my, and this is what a lot of people, what I notice a lot of people do, they'll do it on America's Got Talent. American Idol, but more like America's Got Talent or, you know, any type of competition show, you want to have a guilt trip factor. And not saying that some of these people don't have talent, but you want to bring out a child, a 3-4 year old child in front of at America's Got Talent, because it's going to win the hearts of everybody. And, you know, she's so good, and we are going to send her to Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. So I know Stan brought Matthew out here just in hopes that Eminem's going to turn his head and see a small kid and, oh, let me go over talk to this little kid, you know, da 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 da. Yeah. That's definitely, you know, I hope I don't get any hate for that. But that's what a lot of people do. They'll find a guilt trip factor, or they'll go on an award show. You know, somebody has, you know, went through this hardship. I'm going to give you a sad sob story. Or I'm a young child just trying to give, you know, I want to, if I got $1 million, I would give it out to every person in the world, so nobody is poor. That is such a beautiful answer. That's just going to win over the judges' hearts. And what they're trying to do right now, or what Stan's trying to do, is win over Eminem's heart with this. So this is personally him. He starts to getting into the guilt tripping, like, you did this to my brother, I waited for you, all this stuff, and I'm still your fan. Give me what I'm asking for. Respond to me. Pretend like you were my best friend.
I ain't that mad, though. I just don't like being lied to. Remember when we met in Denver? You said if I write you, you would write back. See, I'm just like you in a way. I never knew my father neither. He used to always cheat on my mom and beat her. I can relate to what you're saying in your songs. So when I have a day, I drift away and put them on, cause I don't really got to tell. So that helps when I'm depressed. I even got a tattoo with your name across the chest.
So we can see, I ain't that mad, though. I just don't like being lied to. That's a stark contrast to the last lyric. That's pretty crappy, man. You're like his effing idol, you know, and his tone is just changing. He's going back and forth like, you can tell I'm mad, but, you know, I ain't mad. You just lied to me, you know. He says, remember when we met in Denver, you said if I write you, you would write back. Do you know how many fans Eminem has? Plus, you want him to keep making music. Plus, you want him to go on tour. Plus, he has to have some type of social. He got to sleep, maybe, possibly. Magazine covers, photo shoot, music video shoots. But he got to answer every last letter. It's not going to be overnight. This is your, what is this, the fourth letter now? Like, come on. But after he goes, you know, you said if I write you, you would write back. And then he goes back to the, you know, trying to be relatable. Like, I'm not like other people, I relate to you. See, I'm just like you in a way. I never knew my father neither. He used to always cheat on my mom and beat her. I can relate to what you're saying in your song. So when I have a crazy day, I drift away and put them on, because I don't really got nothing else. So this helps when I'm depressed. There goes back to, you know, the picture on the wall. I'm depressed in life, but every time I see your picture and remember who you are as an idol, I kind of romanticize that. And in my way, I disassociate and pretend I am you, or I pretend I'm with you, or something like that. So he's basically guilt tripping, saying, when I have a crazy day, I put your songs on. This is how much your music means to me. I bet nobody else, the first thing they think to do when they're having a crazy day, you know, sometimes they'll call a family member, sometimes they'll pray, but I listen to your songs. Do you see how much I do? You know, that type of energy and guilt tripping is like just to for a forced interaction just to make you feel better. Just so you can get a letter back, maybe a starter cap signed by Eminem. I understand it, because if I was to ever get a starter cap signed by J-Hope, I'd go crazy. Would I write him 32 million letters saying you, I'm entitled to a conversation with you? They're people too. You don't have to listen to their music. They put the music out for you. You don't have to listen to it. You're not obligated to. Like, they're not obligated to talk to you. But Eminem here for an example, you know. And mind you, this is based off of real life, what was happening to him. The girls was going crazy for Eminem now. And a man too. And you'll see how crazy in the next few verses they was really going. Look, I even got a tattoo with your name across the chest. I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. That's like the lady, I think somebody tattooed Trump across their forehead. There was an Instagram picture about that. But do you see how stupid you look? Why are you that crazy that you usually get your mom, your child, your best friend, somebody that's passed away? That's what you put on your chest or tattoo the name, you know, Eminem's name across the chest. Now that's guilt tripping. See what I did for you, Eminem? I got your name tattooed across my chest. You owe me an interaction. I am the best fan. I feel like you're responding to everybody else, but why aren't you responding to me? Nobody loves you like I do.
I'm
Sometimes I even cut myself to see how much it bleeds. It's like adrenaline. The pain is such a sudden rush for me. See, everything you say is real, and I respect you because you tell it. My girlfriend's jealous because I talk about you 24/7. But she don't know you like I know you, Slim. No one does. She don't know what it was like for people like us growing up. You gotta call me, man. I'll be the biggest fan you'll ever lose. Sincerely yours, Stan. P.S. We should be together, too.
Well, that did it. True intentions were revealed, guys. True intentions were revealed. So let's go. Sometimes I even cut myself to see how much it bleeds. I'm so sorry. What was the point of you saying that in a letter? And I guess in one of Eminem's songs, you know, and he'll even, I don't want to spoil the rest of the song too much if you haven't deep dive or you haven't listened to it. But at this point, who hasn't listened to it, guys? Come on. I guess in one of Eminem's songs, you know, he's joked about that type of stuff. And Eminem has joked about a lot of things. That's just his rap style. This is something that obviously, you know, shouldn't be joked about for people that actually do struggle with mental health. But he even says it here. I don't want to go too much ahead. But when he responds, finally, he's like, you know, I joked about that. You didn't have to really do that. Like, why are you doing that? To impress me or to be like me or to live my life and see how I feel? You know, that type of thing. It's like adrenaline. The pain is such a sudden rush for me. See, everything you say is real and I respect you because you tell it. My girlfriend's jealous because I talk about you 24/7. Yeah. Listen, I used to when I first became, you know, interested in K-pop. That's the only thing. There was so much. The whole world of K-pop, that's just like finding rap music for the first time as a boy, you know, in some country that's never listened to music before. There's so many artists, there's so many songs, there's so many lyrics, there's so many music videos. What do you do? This is all I want to talk about. This is my newfound obsession. That died off. I barely listen to K-pop music anymore. I'm not going to even hold you. I do have my playlist, but it dies off after a few years. Now, I still love K-pop, but I'm being honest. If you're at the point where your girlfriend's jealous about you, like the only thing you're talking about is Eminem, like you personally know him, like he's your brother, like he's your dad, like he's your savior. No. So then he tries to go on. She doesn't know you like I know you, Slim. No one does. What are you trying to say? You are not me. I can understand if you were my brother, you were my best friend. You know, I know you better than anybody else. Eminem does not know you, sir. And this is the disassociation that goes on in a lot of people's head. You know, they're creating an alternative reality where Eminem does know him in his mind and what he's thinking about. Yeah, Eminem, you know, if you just gave me the chance, I promise you, you'll love me. But I've created 35 different scenarios. We've been best friends in this scenario. We've made music in this scenario. And now once you start repeating these scenarios over and over again in your head, you start believing it too. Back to, you know, trying to relate, you know, everything you say is real and I respect you because you tell it. And, you know, I'm gonna name my child after you. And, you know, I relate to your music. You're not the only one that relates to a certain artist's music. That's not the basis. That's not. And I understand how some music can relate to a certain person in a different way, and you can be able to deep dive, kind of like what this is. Like when Terrence and I in the previous episode were going through the lyrics of Mona Lisa, there were some lyrics in there. I guarantee you a lot of Lil Wayne and Kendrick fans did not pick up, but I guarantee you there were a lot of lyrics that they did pick up. And the way I can confirm that is because Genius has a whole page with contributors giving us tips that we didn't even know. So we're not the only ones that listen to this music intently or understand it to a certain degree. But when you're in your head like this, you really don't have anything else to live for. You try to compensate for the pain that you're going through day to day. This is how you can drift off into another reality. In a separate alternative universe, Eminem and I, or my favorite idol and I, my favorite K-pop idol, my favorite celebrity, my favorite actress, actor, we're best friends and we live this life. And this is how I get day to day because I don't like my own reality. Oh, clock it. Clock it. She don't know you like I know you, Slim. No one does. She don't know what it was like for people like us growing up. You gotta call me, man. I'll be the biggest fan you'll ever lose. He's going back to, you know, I'm relating to you, but you're about to lose me. And I know you want a friend like me, but you're about to lose me. And I'm the best thing that's ever happened to you, but you're about to lose me. And then he says in the end, sincerely yours, Stan. P.S. We should be together too. And Genius made me chuckle a little bit when they put here, someone made an annotation and it had 398 likes. It says, I'm gonna skip to the end. It has been a subject of debate as to whether this implies romantic feelings or platonic adoration. No, I disagree 100%. This was not platonic adoration. What do you mean we should be together too? I'm sorry. No, I like girl groups and I like Stacy, for example. And my bias in that group is San. I wouldn't contact San saying, you know, we should be together too. You and me should be together. I like men, nor do I want to be with you. What do you mean? We should be together too. And that's platonic. We should be together, but as friends. I'm sorry. The tattoo across the chest, you usually put that at somebody that you love. Like I said, a mom, a wife, girlfriend, child. That's somebody that you love. And in this instance, he's in love with Eminem. In love. Come on, let's not play. So that wraps up verse 2. The next verse is not the end of the song, but it's a major turn in what's going on. So right now we are at the fourth letter, that two letters before an autumn that Stan sent. Then the first letters, I just, you know, maybe if there was a mix up at the post office, I'm giving you a chance to write me now. This one's a lot more unhinged, letting him know, like, yes, I'm mad in the beginning, but I start to say at the end, you know, I relate to you. And I maybe me being friends with you or trying to plead for your attention isn't working. So I'm gonna confess my love to you. And I know maybe you're like, I'm taking this out of proportion just by him saying we should be together too. And that's up for interpretation. But ending that with a tattoo across the chest, my girlfriend's jealous because I talk about you all the time. I'm sorry. He's basically trying to guilt trip Eminem into, you know, nothing else worked. I'm gonna confess my feelings to you. I wasn't gonna make it weird or anything. Right now, I'm at the point, I'm desperate. I'm in love with you, sir.
Dear mister, I'm too good to call and write my fans. This will be the last package I ever send you. It's been 6 months and still no word. I don't deserve it. I know you got my last two letters. I wrote the addresses on them perfect. So this is my cassette I'm sending you. I hope you hear it. I'm in a car right now. I'm doing 90 on the freeway. Hey Slim, I drink a fifth of vodka. You dare me to drive? You know the song by Phil Collins in the air of the night about that guy who could have saved that other guy from drowning but didn't? Then Phil saw it all, then at a show he found him? That's kind of how this is. You could have rescued me from drowning. Now it's too late. I'm on 1,000 downers now. I'm drowsy.
As we can tell, paints a great scene, even if you're not watching the video, but the background noise, it's just... Eminem just did an amazing job with this song, because even if you don't see the music video, you know exactly what's happening. You know exactly what's happening right now. You hear the rain. He's swerving. He's talking out loud. There's no scribbling. So obviously he's not writing, but he does state in his lyrics, you know, this is the cassette that I'm sending you. He basically says, dear mister, I'm too good to call or write my fans. This is the last package I'll ever send you. It's been 6 months and still no word. I don't deserve it. Basically saying, I don't deserve your letters. I don't deserve an acknowledgement from you. Then says, you know, the last two letters, you know, the first few I made were, you know, I might have messed up the address, but the last two, I know for certain you got it. And now it's not like you're missing my letters or you haven't seen them. You're purposely avoiding me. Okay, that's in his mind right now. He said, this is my cassette I'm sending you. I hope you hear it. I'm in the car right now. I'm doing 90 on the freeway. Hey, Slim, I drank a fifth of vodka. You dare me to drive? Oh, Lord. It's like a relationship, a toxic relationship. I'm going to call my boyfriend. I'm driving 90 on the freeway. I'm drunk. Do you want me to off myself? I'll drive over this right now if you don't come and tell me you love me. It's actually hilarious. It's not, because people actually do this. But I like that even in 2000, Eminem was able to capture this. He said, and then he relates it back to a song. You know the song by Phil Collins in the air of the night about that guy who could have saved that other guy from drowning, but didn't. Then Phil saw it. Then at his show, he found him. That's kind of how this is. You could have rescued me from drowning, but now it's too late. I'm on 1,000 downers. Now I'm drowsy. So now it's like back to the, I listen to your music when I'm depressed, and that's the only thing that keeps me living. And I feel when people do that and say, this is the only reason why I'm living is because of this artist, their music is the only reason why I'm where I'm at right now. It's kind of a way to guilt trip them into making more music or feel like you have an obligation to me because of the music you make. You're my therapist now. You're the only thing that makes me happy. So now he's kind of blaming it on him. Like, that's kind of how this is. You could have rescued me from drowning, but now it's too late and I'm drowsy and you're going to be the reason why I don't make it out of this randomly. Had nothing. My whole time, he has never conversed. Actually, he did. I take that back. And he probably got that one fan interaction from Eminem when he said, you know, back in Denver, if you told me if I write you, you would write back. He probably got a quick fan interaction and took, you give somebody an inch and they take a mile.
And all I wanted was a lousy letter of a call. I hope you know I ripped all of your pictures off the wall. I love you, Slim. We could have been together. Think about it. You ruined it now. I hope you can't sleep and you dream about it. And when you dream, I hope you can't sleep and you scream about it. I hope your conscience eats at you when you can't breathe without me. See, Slim, shut up, I'm trying to talk. Hey, Slim, that's my girlfriend screaming in the trunk. But I didn't slit her throat, I just tied her up. See, I ain't like you. Cause if she suffocates, she'll suffer more. And then she'll die too. Well, gotta go. I'm almost at the bridge now. Oh, I forgot. How am I supposed to send this out?
Amazing storytelling. The amazing storytelling. So we have it now. And all I wanted was a lousy letter or a call. I hope you know I ripped all of your pictures off the wall. I love you, Slim. See, we could have been together. Think about it. Which is reiterating the fact that I know he basically wanted not a platonic relationship with him. That's basically how I see it. So now he's getting mad. He says, you ruined it now. I hope you can't sleep and you dream about it. And when you dream, I hope you can't sleep and you scream about it. I hope your conscience eats at you and you can't breathe without me. So he's basically saying, this is your fault. So now when something happens to me, and that goes back to toxic relationships, like they want to do things, people will, you know, and it's a sad case I've seen on social media a lot. People will know that their significant other can't live without them, but they want to put them in so much pain that they will literally off themselves and know that my significant other is going to be squeamish and not be able to live without me. And I want them to live with this for the rest of their life. And that's key to why I keep saying Stan swears he's Eminem's significant other. That's key to that. So he says, see, Slim. And then you hear someone screaming in the trunk. Shut up. I'm trying to talk. That's his girlfriend. He says, hey, Slim, that's my girlfriend screaming in the trunk, but I didn't slit her throat. I just tied her up. See, I ain't like you. Because if she suffocates, she'll suffer more and then she'll die too. And I'm guessing probably alluding to one of his songs or something back then saying, you know, I'm not like you. I'm better, you know, and you should have, you know, this is what you're missing out on, basically. Then he says, well, gotta go. I'm almost at the bridge now. Then he says, oh, I forgot. How am I supposed to send this out? He recorded it on a cassette tape. And he's not understanding, you know, how I'm doing all this and I'm about to crash and Eminem's not going to even get this. I really do enjoy it. The screams pick up. He crashes through the gate. There's a moment of silence. You just hear rain and then you hear the car literally plummet into the ocean or whatever bridge or whatever lake they're in. So we can concur Stan and his girlfriend have passed away, which is unfortunate. So he took everybody out saying, if, you know, you don't want to be with me, I'm just gonna, you know, now not only do you have one life that's on your hands, Eminem, but you have three, mine, my girlfriend, and our child. So hard to try to guilt trip somebody that had one interaction with you. But as we learn in the next verse, after the chorus, of course, Eminem actually wasn't avoiding Stan. He's just been busy. And now we're gonna get to the final letter that he tried to communicate with Stan.
This Stan. I meant to write you sooner, but I've just been busy. You said your girlfriend's pregnant now. How far along is she? Look, I'm really flattered you would call your daughter that. And here's an autograph for your brother. I wrote it on the starter cap. I'm sorry I didn't see you with the show. I must have missed you. Don't think I did that intentionally just to diss you. But what's the you said about you like to cut your wrist too? I say that just clowning, dog. Come on, I'll fish you. You got some issues, Dan. I think you need some counseling to help your from bouncing off the walls when you get down some. And what's the about us meant to be together? That type of don't make me not want us to meet each other.
Eminem's writing. You can hear the scribbling sitting at a table or something like that. It says, dear Stan, I meant to write you sooner, but I've just been busy as any other celebrity would be. It's Eminem. Come on. You said your girlfriend's pregnant now. How far along is she? You know, he's addressing. He's finally read every last letter because they probably grouped it. This is how many letters you've gotten from these people. This is how many letters you've gotten from this person, you know, grouped it. So he's read all the letters probably. He's definitely read all the letters. And so right now he's like, I'm really flattered that you would call your daughter that, Bonnie. And here's an autograph for your brother. I wrote it on a starter cap. You know, this is what you said your brother wanted. I couldn't see him at the concert. And then He says right here, "I'm sorry, I didn't see you at the show. I must have missed you. Don't think I did that stuff intentionally just to diss you." He didn't purposely, like I said earlier, celebrities have thousands of things going on, thousands of fans. He probably didn't see you, and he did not ignore you on purpose. He just had somewhere to be. That's why you can't think, yeah, these celebrities are regular people, but y'all, as fans, hold them to such a higher standard that they have to act this way. And you put them on this pedestal. Then he goes into, "But, you know, that's cool. You know, I didn't do that on purpose. But wait, what's this stuff you said about you like to cut your wrist too? I said that just clowning, dog. Come on, how messed up is you? Like, I'm just dogging. Like, I'm just kidding. I wasn't serious. Said, you got some issues, Stan. I think you need some counseling to help you from bouncing off the walls when you get down some. And what's this about us meant to be together? That type of stuff will make me not want us to meet each other. You're going through stuff, and I can acknowledge that you're going through stuff, but you have to realize, you know, there's other help in the world, and you can't just bounce off the walls and go crazy when you're feeling down and you want to reach out to me, and I'm supposed to be your best friend, but I can't get back to you because I'm a celebrity and you are just a random person that enjoys my music. What's going on? Hello? What's going on?" So basically referring back to counseling and just heavy on the "what's this about us meant to be together." That's why I'm like, it's not platonic. Eminem, if we listen to Eminem's music, and you will see how he doesn't like that. The joking, and this was the nicest way he's put it. You know, "what's this about us meant to be together?" This is the type, you know, saying that, "I don't want to meet you with you no more." Because you're saying, this is the nicest way he has put this type of interaction. And I'm going to leave that at that.
"I really think you and your girlfriend need each other, but maybe you just need to treat her better. I hope you get to read this letter. I just hope it reaches you in time before you hurt yourself. I think that you'll be doing just fine if you relax a little. I'm glad I inspire you, but Stan, why are you so mad? Try to understand that I do want you as a fan. I just don't want you to do some crazy. I seen this one dude on the news a couple weeks ago that made me sick. Some dude was drunk and drove his car over a bridge and had his girlfriend in the trunk. And she was pregnant with his kid, and in the car they found a safe, but it didn't say who it was to. Come to think about it, his name was, it was you. Damn."
After he's saying, "you saying you in love with me, you want me, that's not, I don't want to meet with you no more." Then he goes on, "I really think that you and your girlfriend need each other, or maybe you just need to treat her better. I hope you get to read this letter. I just hope it reaches you in time before you hurt yourself. I think that you'll be doing just fine if you relax a little. I'm glad I inspire you, but Stan, why are you so mad? Try to understand that I do want you as a fan." He's trying to let you know, you have something great going on with the person that's really in your life. A girlfriend that's pregnant with your child, that actually wants to carry your child to term, that genuinely, she's real. You get to see her every day. You don't get to see me. You just listen to my music, and you're creating a false reality with me. Why are you not clinging on to something that's real? Like, why are you so attached to a fake perception? And that's a topic for another day. Okay. Fake realities episode coming soon. Maybe, I don't know. But then he goes off, "I just don't want you to do some crazy stuff." And then he recounts what he saw on the news. And this is, so he recounts what he saw on the news. And this has been weeks later, as he says, "I just don't want you to do some crazy stuff. I seen this one thing on the news a couple of weeks ago that made me sick. Some dude was drunk and drove his car over a bridge and had his girlfriend in the trunk. And she was pregnant with his kid. And in the car, they found a tape, but they didn't say who it was to. And then come to think about it, his name was, it was you." When I first heard that at the end, and it was back like Mona Lisa, I'm doing homework again. And I didn't mention this in the beginning, but this was me doing homework again. Had to be pre-calculus because I was listening to all the rappers while I was doing pre-calculus because I could actually focus on the music. And so this song, I had to play it after hearing the crash because I was like, I was paying attention, but I wasn't. But then I heard the crash and I'm just like, the personification of, well, it's not really personification, but the sounds, the audio imagery was amazing. And then him doing these breaks, it was just so amazing for me to hear. And I had to listen to it over and over again. As soon as I heard the, "I just don't want you to do some crazy stuff," I started listening. When he started telling and detailing everything he saw on the news about Stan, some dude was drunk. He drove his car over a bridge. His girlfriend was in the trunk, pregnant, you know, and in the car. They found a tape, which was the cassette tape, but they didn't say who it was to. Come to think about it, his name was It Was You. This was Eminem's realization that, dang, I finally got back to you, but it was too late. And I don't think nothing like this has actually happened to Eminem before. This was just an example of what could happen, but the guilt wasn't really. So the funny thing is, in the actual music video, you can see the ghost of Stan. As Eminem is writing this letter back, you see the ghost of Stan standing in the window, kind of smiling, kind of menacingly. And so that's just showing Stan finally getting what he wants, but at what cost? Because Eminem went on living with his life, and I know you wanted to guilt trip him, but you finally got what you wanted, but was it truly worth it? And so the smile was, and that's what a lot of Stans don't realize, like short-term versus long-term. Eminem was going to eventually write you back, but now you're sitting up here smiling because, yes, he finally wrote me back. But you don't get a chance to enjoy that, hang that up in the physical, because you're dead, because you took everything out of proportion. And so him smiling was kind of like, yes, he's excited for what he just got, but you're not alive to enjoy this moment. And you don't get to write him letters in the future. You don't get to potentially meet him one day. You don't get to have a sit down talk. Everything we have these days, you could have been a podcaster. You don't get to do these certain things like anymore. Hold up, I'm trying to make sure I'm not late for class. Oh, it started at 10:10, period. You don't get to do these things anymore. So situation like that. What I will say, wrapping up here about Stan, this is such an amazing song. I encourage you all to listen to it full throttle. Watch the video. It is long. It's like a 6-something minute song, but it's worth all of it. 7.4 million people have looked this song up on Genius and the meaning behind the lyrics and just the deep dive behind it. But this is basically where Stan originated. And in Korea, there's Sasangs, which are worse than Stans. They're the people that actually stalk and get insider information, which, you know, regular Stans can use at their advantage. But there's Sasangs who have kidnapped a K-pop group before. There are Sasangs, someone put super glue in some juice and an idol drank it. You know, that's the crazy stuff. That's the crazy stuff going on here. This is what it started at, but I promise you, it's down as social media has gotten bigger and artists are able to converse with, you know, regular people, and you have a higher chance of your stuff being viewed by your favorite celebrity. This is what's getting in the minds of everyone. There we have it, guys. This is Stan by Eminem featuring Ditto, one of my favorite all-time songs. If you didn't know the meaning or truly the intention behind Stans and just thought this was a crazed fan, it's much deeper than just being a crazed fan that wants a signature from Justin Bieber. Okay, shout out Justin. But it's much more deeper than that, and I hope that this episode was able to give you a little bit more into Eminem's lyricism, his greatness as a rapper, and then just a deeper dive into being a stan and, you know, seeing if some of these characteristics resonate in you guys. If so, seek help. Harder than it seems, I know 100%, but we don't want to end up like Stan, the physical Stan, in this episode. If you enjoyed this episode, I thank you so much for listening. You guys can find me at Mic Check with Micah. That's Mic Check with W-I-T-H. Micah on Instagram, my page. Links to listen are, of course, in the bio. But if you're listening to here, you already clicked the link. So I don't really know why I said that. And we're going to have more music coming up for you. There's a whole lot of songs that I definitely want to get through the meaning to it. So stay tuned and I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye. Mic Check with Micah is produced in the studios of WANM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.